Today we're going to start with lesson 9 in the book, but it's lesson 8 in our 8-week series. And there are a few things that we're talking about. Basically, the whole concept is what is titled there up at the top, Full-Time Christianity. It's an interesting thought, and I think the way that the book kind of starts it off is extremely interesting too. It asks the question, what does it cost to be a Christian? And it says, well, there's two ways you can answer that. On the one hand, it costs absolutely nothing. All right, how is it that being a Christian costs nothing?
Jesus has done it all for us.
There you go. Because Christ has done all the work of salvation for us, there is nothing that we have to pay. There's no work that we have to do in order to become a Christian. At the same time, it's... What does it cost to be a Christian? You can say everything. It costs everything to be a Christian. How might you explain that one? How is it that being a Christian costs everything?
Well, yeah? As it says here, then that's pretty hard to do. Because it could, you know, I mean, like it says later on in here, that it's like a full-time job.
Okay.
And, when Bill was referring to looking at the references thing here, it got me back into a habit, finally, of doing a little bit extra. I mean, it was like almost forcing me to look at other things.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed this. I just wish I'd have done something like this every year.
Okay.
For the last 100 years.
All right. So Christianity costing everything. When Christ claims you and makes you a Christian, when he does that part that costs us nothing, that is complete. It's a complete transformation of us. And so that's going to be complete forgiveness of sins, complete righteousness. All right, on the passive righteousness side of things, if we're going to look at the two kinds of righteousness again, it also then flows into everyday life. The act of righteousness, our vocation, what we do, it's just who we are. We don't set being a Christian aside for a little while to go do this thing over here. We're Christian all the time. And there's just absolutely nothing that you can do and not be Christian because Christ has made you that way. That's one way to look at it costs you everything. Now, somebody might have become a Christian later in life and have to give up some things because it doesn't go along with being a Christian. You know, we as a Christian, we're not actively trying to disobey God's commands. It's not our goal. In fact, our goal and intentions are quite the opposite of that, right? To try and do what God would have us do. And as Butch says, we're going to fail at that because at the same time as we're perfect saints, we still are sinners. So it kind of goes back, I think, to one of the topics we talked about last time we met. Sinners and saints, 100% each. Okay, and we struggle with that all the time. But in struggling, see, that's where this, it costs you everything, comes into play. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. Kind of an interesting way to start off the chapter. And let's see. Well, let's get into the part about prayer. That begins on page 44. When can you pray? When should you pray? When do you pray? What are some common times that you would say a prayer?
All the time.
Okay, you can pray any time. Okay? What are some common times that you generally will find yourself regularly saying a prayer?
Morning and evening.
Okay, morning and evening. Okay.
I might say something. I've got a little 4x5 card.
Uh-huh.
On one side I got the morning prayer. The other side I got the evening prayer.
Sure.
And I've got it sitting right there on top of my screen.
All right. What is?
So I don't look at that screen until I read that. Then when I turn it off at night, I don't do it every time. I've got to admit, sometimes it's right there in front of me, and I don't.
Well, that's a good way to do it, though. Yeah. Have it right there ready.
But that'll lead you into other prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not necessarily.
And Bill, you're talking about Luther's morning prayer and evening prayer that's found in the catechism, small catechism. Okay? And, that's a good practice to have. What does Luther advise us to do before we say those prayers? Anybody remember?
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, he says do the sign of the cross.
Yeah.
The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I think this is a good time. I don't think we've talked about this yet. What's the purpose of doing the sign of the cross? Is so we can show off to everybody else and say, hey, look at me. That kind of thing, or should we do it, or what do you guys think about the sign of the cross?
Physically doing the sign?
Yeah, doing it on yourself.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is just reminds us of our daily baptism.
Okay, reminds us of our baptism. Okay, well, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, absolutely reminds us of our baptism, whether we do this part or not. Any other thoughts on the crossing yourself?
All right. Jim Walters used to be here before he became a pastor and left, and he was doing a Sunday school class, and that question came up, and he says, how many people do that? Nobody raised their hand. He says, do you think as Lutherans we can do that, or is that only for Catholics, Roman Catholics, because that's all you ever see doing it? He says, anybody can do that, and I forgot what his answer was, to that. But ever since I've done it when I get the chance.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in the service, I do it where it shows appropriate place to do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I pray, not every time when I pray though.
Yeah.
I think it just reminds me of Christ's death every time I do it.
Yeah. Right.
And what he did for me.
Okay. So we enter the worship service in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it's that sacrifice that Christ made. So why the sign of the cross of all things that we could do? I mean, we could say, what other kind of symbol could we do? Well, why would it be this one? Because it's through the sacrifice Christ made that we're even able to come into the presence of Almighty God.
That little symbol, the cross symbol, appears quite often in liturgy, maybe the confession,
whatever,
at the appropriate time.
Right, those are the appropriate times. So, as pastor, I do the part like this publicly for the congregation. That would be the time to do it individually. Also, for example, when the deacons do it, technically they're supposed to do it this way. I forgot to talk to Chuck before, but we cross ourselves because it's the sacrifice of Christ that we're remembering. One time in the service that's not commonly, a cross yourself time, but I especially enjoy doing is at the end of the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed when it says, the resurrection of the dead. Push yourself extra hard because I'm saying this body that I'm feeling right now as I cross myself is going to be resurrected from the dead. And so it adds another element to it. And how is it that this body is going to be resurrected from the dead? Well, through Christ and the cross and his sacrifice. Christ was resurrected from the dead in body. So it kind of adds that other element of what's going on here. So really there are four times in the worship service to do a crossing yourself. The invocation, the absolution, because you're absolved in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The end of the creed, and then the blessing at the end of the service. It's a Trinitarian blessing at the end of the service, the benediction. So, all right, that was a little bit of an aside there, but we were asking the question of when do you pray. Common times to pray are when you get up, when you go to bed. How about mealtime? Anybody regularly say a prayer thanking the Lord for the gifts at mealtime?
You're regular. I got to admit.
Okay, all right. And, there's the common table prayer, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. One that, I'll just say inside my head sometimes, thank you Lord for these gifts that you've given me. Amen. Just something to remember that, I didn't just get this stuff. The Lord is actually blessing me with absolutely everything in my life. Now, I'm not saying that I perfectly remember that every time. Sometimes I just take it for granted, But if we can regularly have intervals in our day or in our weeks when we can kind of stop and really think about how is it that I have all this stuff that I have? And prayer is one way to do that, the thanksgiving part of it. Okay? So in our evening prayer or morning prayer, we might thank the Lord for, in the morning, Luther advises us, thank the Lord for seeing us safely through the night. And in the evening, we ask the Lord that He would defend us and keep us safe through the night. Thank Him for all the blessings He's given us during the day. All right, where can we pray?
Anywhere.
Okay, all right. Do you have any places where you generally pray? You do?
I think we all do.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
But I added one instead of thinking bad things about everybody while I'm mowing.
Okay, all right.
And that's worked out really good for me.
Yeah, that is not, really a good
not
time.
Really funny. I think, oh man, I go along and oh, I wish I could talk to that guy and tell him what it really means. And oh man, this is never going to end. And lately I've been thinking, oh, this is a pretty nice job. I love my job, you know.
Uh-huh, okay.
And just thanking them for things, not having breakdowns and all kinds of things. And it's just really nice.
Yeah. Or driving around in town. Yeah all kinds of times.
Yeah.
Turn the radio off for a day and see what happens.
I remember several years ago, I had a video that didn't have a radio was broke or something, and I found myself, you know, that was a really neat time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I took my radio out of the truck, not this current one, but the last one I had, and I made a little box to put junk in.
Uh-huh. All right. So the when and the where, we also obviously... In corporate worship, we pray together. We pray the Lord's Prayer together at the end of class every week. You know, we do that together. So we can pray with each other. We can pray by ourselves. We can pray out loud. We can pray in our head. Why do we pray?
So I can talk to somebody that I need to talk to.
Okay.
Other than my wife.
All right.
And I got to admit, for a male, I'll sit and talk to her an awful lot.
Okay.
She'll talk to me. Usually a lot of men don't want to talk to their wives about some things, but I don't have a problem with that. But, I mean, he's gotten to be a much better friend to me than he has a long time ago.
Okay.
You know, simply because I think I'm talking to him and he's listening to me.
Okay.
I used to not think so, but I certainly do now.
Okay. All right.
Well, I don't hear the Lord talking to me in sound, but I hear the Lord talks to me right in that Bible.
All right. Good. Bill, you're jumping ahead, but good. So, it's not a one-way conversation with the Lord. It's not like we're just saying this stuff to thin air. In fact, the Lord does speak to us in His Word. Okay? The same way that He's spoken to His people since He created us, through His Word. All right, good.
But there's also times when, I'll take it in the evening time. I don't do it all the time, but sometimes I do. I got to admit it's very seldom. But if I read the scripture in the evening before I go to bed, then it induces me to pray right then.
Okay.
Maybe later on again, but it do it right at that time.
All right, okay.
Otherwise, if I read those words, what is it going to do if I don't ask for it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I'm not Solomon, but...
do you see that kind of frames your prayers then? Gives you...
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Sort of.
All right.
It's a trigger of some sort.
Okay, good. So the Lord speaks to us in His Word. How else might He answer His prayers? Answer our prayers? Let's say that we petition Him for something. How might He answer that?
Well, He commands us to pray.
Okay.
One thing. And I'll never forget this. When I was in confirmation class, my buddy was the pastor's son. And we said the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. And he got it all down just perfect. And he left off amen. And all the stuff hit the fan because his dad said, and he used him as a guinea pig, I guess. And he said, you missed amen. And the elder goes like this, and he says, that's important because God commands us to pray, and he hears our prayer, and he promises that he will answer those prayers, mm-hmm. but we don't know when.
Okay.
May even be after we're dead, I don't know. But it all depends, I guess, what we're praying for sometimes, and if it's his will.
Okay.
I don't know whether I answered that question or not.
Well, yeah, I think you did. If I could summarize a bit, he's going to answer it one of three ways. He's going to say, yes, here it is. He's going to say, no, this isn't the best thing for you. Or he's going to say, wait, now's not the time for it. It's coming, not yet. Okay? So he's going to answer your prayers through his word. So if I'm just in anguish and I'm praying for comfort, how does the Lord comfort? Through his word. So I can sit down and I can read his word. I can come to worship and hear his word. I can talk with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and they can share the word of God with me. Is that God answering his prayer? Our prayer. Yeah, his prayer. Yeah, it absolutely is. Here's another way. This was, I don't know, this is kind of a dumb one, but I don't know how long, 10 years ago or so, I decided, you know, I'm going to pray. I'm not going to set my alarm clock this morning. I'm going to pray and see if the Lord will wake me up at 5 o'clock. So I said the prayer before I went to bed. Lord, please wake me up at 5 o'clock. I want, you know, I got stuff I want to do, and I need to get up at 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock that morning, I woke up, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I get up, and I go to the bathroom, and I thought, that's weird. It's 5 o'clock. The Lord answers prayer, but I was tired. So I decided, well, I'll go back to bed. But I heard the toilet was still running. It turned out that somehow the toilet had started overflowing, and all the rugs were down on the floor, you know, just soaking wet. So I got up, and I had to take care of this bathroom and the flooding and all this. And so not only did the Lord wake me up at 5 o'clock, he kept me up there.
Put you to work.
Because I was trying. If I would have just stayed up, I would have heard it, and there would have been no mess. But so, anyways, take that for what it is. Kind of a dumb one, but it also shows God has a sense of humor. I think he was laughing at me, and I'm glad we can all laugh about it too. That's nice.
This may not be related on that way. It's kind of a little off, but it's something that I think about a lot, and it happened a long time ago, like you say, maybe 10, 20, maybe 30 years ago. The Baptist minister had a sermon which said, you need to pray, or it went through that, and you need to throw a prayer bomb. What's a prayer bomb? You're driving down the street somewhere, and you see a little kid who's fell down and scraped his knee, you pray for him. You see a drunk laying in a doorway somewhere, you pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I've ever done it every single time, but there's times when I've thought about that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, just happened recently. Uh-huh. We had a gentleman that sit out here one morning waiting for us for our prayer.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, ended up eating, stayed a couple times for our Bible study, and then went to another church, but for what reason I don't know, and really not my business. But he was here Sunday, this Sunday or last Sunday, standing out by the flagpole, and I didn't know about it till we got inside church. Somebody mentioned that, so I said, "Well, you know, I thought about it," and I said, "Well, Lord, just bring Ralph right back in the service again, regardless of how he looks, or it doesn't matter what to look like or whatever. You know what I mean?"
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen, but it may happen sometime.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know.
Okay.
He was something like that just you feel like you need to pray about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
He was sitting out here 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Julie said she had seen him.
Yeah. Well, he's
before. Well, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is kind of answering the question, for what might we pray? Right?
Yeah.
Well, we can certainly pray about anything, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill, you've given us some really good examples of not so much selfish things. Now, I don't mean that in a negative way, but I mean, yeah, we certainly want to pray for ourselves, but not to limit it to ourselves. And kind of pray about, you know, it's easy to extend it this way, I think. Ourselves, all right, then immediately is our family, and then what might be going on in their lives, and people and things, and, you know, so it can kind of expand out that way. But also to remember the Thanksgiving part of it, the praising God for answering prayers part of it, the praising God for just giving us a beautiful day. All of this, you know, this is what we can and certainly should communicate with our gracious Lord.
I think several years ago, we were at Jim's family's, and majority of them are unchurched people. And we were at a picnic or something like that. And when we are around and in an environment, in a picnic or a family gathering or something, they always ask Jim to ask the blessing. Mm-hmm. And he did at this particular time. And and he made it in the way, you know, like in a conversation way, mm-hmm. you know, in praying and thanking for, I think it was Mr. Hubert's birthday or something like that, and, you know, and thanking him for Charlie and the fun thing that Charlie does and things like that. But then at the end, like he does with the meal, thanking him for the food and everything, and so many people come and ask him, are you a preacher someplace? You know, because it was a very, you know, it was just not like I don't want to say a regular prayer, but it made it like a conversation, and mm-hmm. it just not, thank you, Lord, for this food and stuff like that. It was more like of a conversation. And that's what I try to do is if I do pray in public, I try to make it like I'm having conversation.
Okay.
Because I actually am having conversation, you know. Yeah. But sometimes I think that we get in a formality of praying, of just thank you, Lord, for the day, and thank you for our health, and thank you for this. Mm-hmm. And we don't, and I'm saying this for myself, is that, and sometimes I think I pray very selfish, you know. They don't think about somebody else.
Okay. All right. That gives us an example of how we might go about praying. So that's really the last question, the who, what, when, where, why, how. How do we pray? Well, that's a question the disciples asked Jesus, right? And what did Jesus do? He said, we'll pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, and he gives them the Lord's Prayer. Okay, so there's two examples. Just a simple conversation. Well, that's what Jesus was doing. He was talking to his Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's not just speaking to the air. He's speaking to God. Okay, so Jesus is saying, yeah, Donna, that's exactly how we pray. Yeah, it's a conversation with our Lord. Sometimes we get nervous to pray in public situations. I know that that's an area that I've grown in, but still have room for more growth. It you know, you can freeze up. What am I going to say? Well, let me give you an idea of how you might counteract that possible fear.
Not an example.
All right? What the easiest thing to do is memorize this. Oh, you give so that through. Okay? Oh, you give so that through. You want to kind of stack them on top of each other like that. I'll take notes in a second, but I want to repeat that a few times so that it gets stuck in the head. All right? Let's do it on the count of three. One, two, three.
Oh, you give so that through.
All right, now do it without looking. One, two, three.
Oh, you give so that through.
One more time.
Oh, you give so that through.
All right. That's the crucial part, is memorizing that part. Now, this is the outline of the collect form of prayer. So you might notice in the worship service, right after the introit, right after the sharing of the peace, it's the collect of the day. Okay? So this is that means that it falls in this form. So you can label that collect form if you want. It's spelled like collect, but pronounced collect. From Latin, I imagine. Alright. Like I said, this is the outline. Now to fill in the prayer. All right, what might we pray about today? Let's just kind of have a general topic. What would we like to pray about?
For rain.
All right, let's pray for rain. All right, so we know what our petition is. The O is, who are we praying to? O Heavenly Father, O Lord Jesus Christ, O Lord of hosts, whatever it is we're going to be praying about. Well, here we're talking about rain. I assume that we're wanting rain for the harvest. So, O Lord, O great Creator, let's say, O Creator. All right, the you, we're going to tell something that we know about God. God has revealed himself in certain ways. So now we're talking about rain. What has God revealed about himself as Creator dealing with rain? Well, we know that he gives the rain that produces crops. So, Creator, you give rains, or you give moisture to the fields as they need it. You give moisture. We tell something about what God has done. Give abundant rain. Abundant rains. So here, the give is, what are we asking for in this collect prayer? Okay? Now, why do we want the abundant rain? Why do we want God to do what we're requesting? So that the crops will grow. And what's the result of crops that grow? Well, we'll have food to eat. Okay? So that is, what do we want to see happen as a result of this prayer? Okay, finally, the through is kind of the wrapping up the prayer. This is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's kind of a common way. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. That's kind of a general collect ending. But simply through Jesus, amen. Okay, oh, you give so that through. Pray about anything in that form. And what this does is kind of gives us a little bit more confidence in our prayer. Sometimes, and I know from personal experience, somebody asks, will you pray? It's like, okay, yeah, I'll pray. And then you're trying to think, all right, what are we going to pray about? And you kind of start getting tripped up and talking over yourself and things like that. Well, if we can think about this before we start the prayer, what is it that we're praying about? All right. That really gives us a context of how to fill out our outline of, oh, you give so that through. Now, the most important thing about this outline form is, if you're going to use this as the way that you go about praying, you have to be willing to take a couple of seconds before you start praying to think it through. Okay? So, it also allows you to take that deep breath. And as you're taking that deep breath, you can think, all right, oh, you give so that through. We're asking for rain, all right? The Lord has created, he gives rain, all this kind of thing. You can kind of outline it in your head before you start praying. All right?
I have a question.
Yep.
Bill and Jim do a good job praying. I want to know whether or not they already knew that, or whether they're just that good.
I don't think I'm that good, and I certainly didn't know that.
Okay.
I have a lot to learn about praying, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm that guy that Donna was talking about, like the family was together, and they said, oh, who's going to say the prayer, and then nobody says anything. So, oh, Dad will do it. And I say, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest.
Okay.
Let this right. Food to us be blessed.
Is there a problem with that?
No, but I'd like to do better.
Okay. And how might you do better?
brain, and I have to remember, oh, you give, so that through.
This is a tool. The answer is you got to practice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all there is to it. If you want to pray out loud in front of other people and feel comfortable with it, the more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to be with it. You know, I mean, really, that's the bottom line to it. This, hopefully, is a way that might help you feel a little bit more confident and a little bit more comfortable in the situation. A little story about this. I taught this when I was a vicar. It's something I generally like to put in classes that I teach. I would like people to open up the classes with prayers, so I'm going to teach them one way to do it so they feel a little bit more comfortable. Well, it was about halfway through a study on Genesis, and I took time, you know, let's talk about prayer, and gave them this, and nobody still wanted to, you know, close that session with a prayer. But later that night, it was a midweek Lenten service, and one of the ladies from that class came up to me and said, you know, won't believe what happened. I was on my way into church, and this lady came through the bushes. She had been beaten by her boyfriend, and she just kind of, you know, really freaking out. She says, are you going to church here? And the lady from class is like, yeah, I go to church here. It's a Lenten service. Well, would you say a prayer for me? And the lady's like, you know, she's still nervous, still not real excited about doing this kind of thing, but she had just learned this that very same day, and she was able to kind of put that in practice, pray with the girl, and, you know, think of the comfort for that girl, you know, in that situation, too. So the Lord is answering those prayers, and so the lady kind of, from the class, kind of formed a little relationship with the girl, let her come in, talk on the phone, and things like that, but bottom line is, you just never know when the opportunity is going to come up for you to pray in public like that, or pray with somebody. When somebody knows you're a Christian, they know that you pray. And here's possibly a way to help you kind of feel comfortable about it, and it worked for her. Okay? Let's try a different topic. What else might we pray for?
Before you do a different topic, yeah. I got a question I'd like to ask you, see if you can tell me, when you put the names up there, when you ask for prayer petitions, I feel funny to, when I'm praying, open my eyes and look at that board to help remind myself of what is up there.
Well, that's why I write them up there.
So you can. Because I thought, you know, once I close my eyes and pray, I never open them. But then I was lucky. I remembered all three of those. Mm-hmm. That's okay to do.
Yeah, yeah. Some people are real good at remembering. I mean, somebody could sit here and we could list off 10 petitions and they'll remember them all. I'd remember three of them and leave the rest up. So that's why I list them down.
Yeah. So, and it's always good if you can name them by name like you have them up there instead of doing as a group.
Either way. Yeah. Because, I mean, we've already said these are our prayer requests before we started praying.
Okay.
And then we could say, we pray for all those who are hurting, that you would lift them up, that you would grant healing, whatever it is. So either way, yeah. Yeah.
Well, nobody's got a shorter memory than me.
All right. So write them down. Write down the prayer requests. Absolutely.
I would have to.
Okay.
But I think there are people that just have that gift to pray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
absolutely.
One of the people in our church that has got a wonderful gift, and that's LaVera Johnson.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, she just.
Well, she never volunteers to.
Oh no,
pray
she probably. But now Paul has asked her in the beginning of Sunday school, "Will you do the prayer?" She has a wonderful.
Great.
She has a wonderful gift.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like the way that you're thinking about that. So some people are just plain gifted and able to do it, like I would say Jim and Bill. Okay? Not to say anything about anybody else. I guess I haven't really heard Donna and Butch pray, but, you know, you guys have the petitions, and here's a nice prayer. Other people, like myself, have to work at it and have something like this, at least in the back of my mind. Not that I use this every time. But, boy, if I'm kind of in a nervous situation, like the Lions Club and the chaplain isn't there and they ask Reverend Aker to say the prayer, you know, hey, I've got something here, I can on the spot say a prayer. So this is something that I use also and find very helpful. Thoughts or comments on it? We'll try a couple more.
One thing on prayer, too, is it's really hard to do a lot of times. Like when I first go into the church for the service, when mm-hmm. I sit down, I got to search for a quiet moment where I can say a real short prayer.
Okay.
You know, to bless the service, but a lot of times it's hard to find that quiet moment.
Yeah.
Too many distractions.
Yeah. You're early service or mm-hmm. second? Okay.
Yeah. I'm glad that Bill. I'm sorry.
You know, it might be after the first hymn or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may have to wait.
Yeah.
I'm glad he brought that up because that's what I wanted to talk about the last time at the end of the Lord's Supper. Sometimes I get rattled right at the time and I'm trying to say my little prayers things and I get all lost and nervous or something.
Mm. Okay.
I try and thank them for letting me partake of that and do it right. And I wanted to talk about the old time confession thing too, which I think is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But we aren't here to do that.
Okay. All right. Well, let me stick with the topic of prayer, and
yeah.
Here's something helpful in the worship service. That new hymnal that we've got is just brilliantly laid out. If you flip to, I believe, just open up the cover, don't even turn a page, there is a prayer for the beginning of service, a prayer for preparation for the Lord's Supper, prayer for after you've received the Lord's Supper, prayer for the end of the service. I think there's two more prayers, maybe the morning, evening prayer. But I think there's six prayers just right there as you open up the hymnal. Check those out and use those. Very helpful. And it also kind of helps keep distractions out to have it written down.
You
can, yeah, kind of focus on that.
You know, I get rattled even after I've been reading those things.
Okay. All right.
And then I start worrying about, am I really, serious about this. I know I'm trying to be serious, but
okay.
I didn't mean that serious.
Alright, so you're...
am I really, doing this right? And am I really getting this, even though I didn't concentrate enough?
And is the efficacy of the Lord's Supper dependent on how well you prayed before you went up to receive it?
No.
Nope. The Lord is going to give you His gifts because you need Him. And, maybe momentary lapses in concentration are evidence of the fact that we need those gifts that God gives us. I mean, how many of us can sit there and perfectly concentrate on everything that's going on in the worship service without our minds wandering for a split second even?
And I think a lot of times, as we come into first or second service, the people that either sit down in front of us or the people that sit behind us, we haven't seen
mm-hmm.
for a week.
Yeah. Yep.
And we're, what's gone on this week or
right.
how are you or something like that.
And I was going to say, maybe part of the what goes on in worship right before the ringing of the bell, it's kind of, a time for people to get to know each other. Maybe because of the way the campus is set up, because there's not a narthex area before you get into the sanctuary to have that conversation, other than stand outside and do it. But, the sidewalk's there, and that kind of points you to keep walking on the sidewalk. And so, it's kind of understandable that's the time when we can kind of do a little fellowship.
And personally, I think that, and this is just me, but I think some Sundays are a little bit noisier than others.
Boisterous.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but it just seems like some Sundays, everybody is maybe in a good mood,
mm-hmm.
and waiting to visit and things like
yeah.
that, and then maybe some Sundays might be a little bit more somber.
Sure, I think you're right. Yep. Okay. Let's try a couple more on this O you give so that through. Just so that we kind of solidify it in our minds. I know you guys have all written it down, but let's try a couple practice ones. Let's see. My brother has just shipped off on his first deployment in the Navy. So let's pray for him. His name is Tyler. Would somebody like to try, oh, you give so that through, so that, I'll give you the so that Tyler is kept safe and protected during his deployment. Anybody like to give it a try? Or let's try this one together. Let's think about the O. What name of the Lord do we maybe want to place there?
Father.
Okay, O Father. Now, what do we tell the Lord that we know about him through what he's revealed? What do we say about God here? We're talking about military... He's a protector. A lot of Psalms call him that he protects. He's a guide.
He's over.
Okay. You watch over your children. How about if we even say you promise to watch over your children?
Yes.
And you see what's happening here. You're keeping the father theme. You promise to watch over your children. Alright, I might have kind of combined the given so that, give...
Protection?
Yeah, give Tyler protection. During deployment. So that he's kept safe.
Return home to his family.
And return home to his family.
Safely.
Safely.
Through?
Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right, let's pray. Anybody like to pray this one?
I'll do it.
All right, Jim, let's pray.
Let's pray. Oh, Father, you promised to watch over our children, to keep them safe as they go through their day. Give Tyler the protection needed to keep his deployment safe so that he may come home safe to his family and his loved ones. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.
Amen. Very nice. Yeah. Any other... prayer request. Let's just do a couple more here.
Time out.
Yeah.
Did you do that without looking at the board?
No, I read and added a few things.
Oh.
I couldn't have done it without looking at the board.
Thank you. It's
the first time I opened my eyes in a prayer.
Okay.
I did do so well on the other ones. And I know you weren't looking at all those words weren't written there.
All right.
At the beginning of today.
We said a prayer for Paul earlier. Let's do that one, a prayer for health. Okay? So what we're looking for is healing for Paul. Okay? Now let's pray to Jesus. Okay? Oh, Jesus Christ. Now, if you think about the Gospel of Luke was a doctor, physician. And one of the main focuses Luke does then is Jesus' healing ministry. So, Jesus Christ, you are the great healer. Give healing to Paul. Why? So that...
obviously, you want Paul to be feeling better so he'll return to his family and be able to lead his life with Christ.
Okay. So they can get back up on his feet?
Yeah.
Okay.
he returned to good health.
Okay.
That's cool.
So that, yeah, so that he'll be healthy. Now, if you know Paul, he's missing being in his garden. So back up on his feet would mean back in the garden.
Missed the church, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yep. In your name we pray. Amen. So we might change the through to in. Since we're praying to Jesus, we wouldn't say through Jesus, or we might say through your name, something like that. In your name. Amen. All right, who would like to pray this one?
I'm going to take my turn eventually.
All right. Butch wants to take this turn. Is that right, Bill? All right.
Well, I can cheat and look right.
It's not cheating. We're praying here.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, Jesus Christ, the great healer, you are the great healer. Please help Paul to get well soon so that he'll be healthy and back on his feet. In your name, amen.
Amen. Good. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, should we try a couple more? Mm-hmm. Oh, you give so that through. What else should we pray for? We prayed for protection. We prayed for healing. What else might we pray for?
In Baptist terms, you'd call it a revival, but what would you call it in Lutheran terms? An opening of people's hearts to the Lord.
Okay. Let's call it that.
I was putting that up for you, the old Baptist.
Okay. All right. So let's start it off. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious Lord.
Heavenly Father.
Okay. Heavenly Father. You have given your word in both law and gospel.
You've given the word of life or through your law and gospel.
Yeah. Okay. You give the word of life through law and gospel. We're going to take the give off this time. Open, the petition is open people's hearts to your word, so that, what do we want to see happen?
They come to you, that they may come to you.
So that they may come to you. Through
your precious son.
It's the only way they can make it.
Yes.
All right. Bill or Donna?
We've been for Donna.
All right. You've been nominated. Now, if this was my 7th or 8th grade confirmation class, Bill, you'd be praying. Because anytime one of the kids try and nominate somebody else, I have them do it. But we'll make an exception this time, Donna, if you don't mind.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, Heavenly Father, you've given your word of life through our law and gospel, that you give your open our hearts to your word, that we might minister to other people in our community, and that they may come to know you through your precious son. Amen.
Amen. All right. And see what all three of you guys have done so far is you've got the general idea of what we're going to pray about on the board, but all of you kind of changed it up, added to it a little bit, made it flow a little bit more naturally. Okay? All of you did that, and all of you have done a fabulous job with this. You're good prayers, and you had good prayers. Should we do one for Bill?
Yeah.
All right. What do we want to pray about? We've talked about rain, protection, healing, that God's word would be spread. Generally in worship, we might also pray for we prayed for military. How about good government?
Good government.
Okay. All right. Do we want to talk about in the world, or do we want to talk about in the United States, in Paducah, McCracken County? Let's narrow it down a bit.
I say all nations.
All nations. All right. So we'll just kind of put that up here. Okay. All right. Now, what title might we give God in this prayer? We're talking about good government. We're talking about authority.
Father of all nations.
Okay, Father of all nations.
Could we also be like Creator also? I mean,
okay.
Creator.
Sure.
Creator.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. What do we talk about God then? What do we say that we know as far as what He's revealed of Himself? This one I would probably specify as, you have given authority to your people, because any authority that a nation has comes from the Lord. You give authority to the governments of the world. All right, what are we asking the Lord for then? Give?
Yeah, for the leaders.
Understanding.
Okay. Yeah.
Understanding and wisdom.
Yeah. Understanding and wisdom.
Understanding His way, your way.
So that?
Peace may come.
All right, so that peace may come. Through?
I always like to end it through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right. Bill?
Oh, Heavenly Father, of all nations and all people, Lord, we ask You that You be with these nations, that they'll come to know You, Lord, by Your word, so that peace may come to this troubled world. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. All right. Very good. Good job. Helpful?
Yes.
All right. Good. I found it helpful when I learned it myself, and like to pass it on whenever I get the chance. So glad to hear that. Let's move beyond prayer a bit and talk about something else. Well, not quite yet are we ready to move past prayer. I want to say a couple of general things about the Lord's Prayer. You can see the Lord's Prayer with questions and answers beginning on page 46. And notice that it's not the whole Lord's Prayer with one question and one answer. It's actually, what, 9 parts there? An introduction, 7 petitions, and a doxology or conclusion. Did you realize that when you prayed the one Lord's Prayer, you're actually praying 7 separate prayers within it?
Never looked at it that way.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that the Small Catechism allows us to do, is kind of open things up, open up this doctrine that we have, this prayer that the Lord has given us, and see what's really there. So if we looked at the 5th petition, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? Luther says, we ask in this prayer that our Father in heaven would not hold our sins against us, and because of them refuse to hear our prayer. And we pray that He would give us everything by grace, for we sin every day and deserve nothing but punishment. So we, on our part, will heartily forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. Basically, this should take us back to the beginning of the worship service, confession and absolution. Forgive us our trespasses. Well, what do we say in confession? I have sinned. Forgive me, Lord. Now, I have been forgiven. What does that do to me? Hopefully, and we pray that it would cause us to forgive other people, right?
I kind of accentuate that in my voice when I say that, because that first thing is to forgive us, right? Mm-hmm. Before
yeah.
Forgive someone.
And is that the end of the story? Jesus says, no.
No.
So that I will forgive those who have forgiven or who have trespassed against me.
And you know, you kind of, well, you can think twice. You can think, who am I hurting? Who am I hurting or something? And who's hurting me or who's doing mm-hmm. something against me?
Yeah.
I mean, it comes quick, but it comes to your mind.
Right. Right. Okay?
It's like I kind of looked at it that we could have an infinity amount of prayers from this one prayer.
Okay.
I mean, just like these guys were good at adding things to those little prayers we mm-hmm. said, we could add all kinds of things to this prayer.
Okay. That's absolutely right. So, anybody have that sinful problem that we're going through worship or here we've come to the Lord's Prayer, and because I've said it so many times, I can say it without even thinking about it. That ever happened to anybody? Yes, that happens maybe to everybody. Here's a little story. Not sure if it's true or not, but legend has it Luther was out working in the field one day or by the side of the road, and this nobleman comes by on his horse and says, I've been struggling with this. I cannot keep my attention on the Lord's Prayer when I'm saying it. Inevitably, I'll start out fine, but midway through, I'm thinking about something else. He says, Luther, if you can say the whole Lord's Prayer without your mind wandering the slightest bit, I'll give you this horse. So Luther's like, oh, free horse out of this. I'll give it a try. He goes to work on it, says the Lord's Prayer, and finishes up. And the nobleman says, well, how'd you do? He said, well, I was doing all right. Then I wondered if the saddle came with the horse. Our minds wander, and that's an effect of our sinful nature. Take this new understanding of the Lord's Prayer that we've got seven petitions with an introduction and a conclusion, and allow your mind to focus on one of the petitions. Okay? So as you're praying the Lord's Prayer, today I'm going to focus on the first petition. Hallowed be thy name. And what does this mean? Well, certainly God's name is kept holy without my asking for it. But in this prayer, I'm asking that the Lord's name be kept holy in my life. So as I'm praying the Lord's Prayer, I might be thinking about, how has the Lord's name not been holy in my life? What are some changes that I might need to make? How has his name been holy in my life? Okay? And you can do that with each petition as you go through. But it's a way of praying the prayer and kind of going along with what Butch is saying. You know, it's adding to it and thinking, all right, boy, I kind of messed it up this week when I, whatever. And then when we get to petition 5, forgive us our trespasses, hey, there it is. Okay? Maybe that'll be another kind of helpful pointer as you're going through. It helps us, rather than just plow through the Lord's Prayer, at least, to take time and step back and look at it for what it is. Several prayers in one. Okay? Questions or comments about that? Okay. Well, the first thing that the chapter talks about is worship. I've got a couple of questions to go along with that then. Why go to worship? What's the point of all this? There's more than one answer here, too. But why? What? Why bother?
I mean, physically going from your home to...
Yeah, I'm talking about Sunday worship. Sunday morning worship. Or whatever day of the week you do it.
To hear the word.
Okay, so you go to hear the word. Okay. Okay, what else?
Commune with like believers.
Okay. And we can say communion, but it sounds to me like you're probably thinking a little bit more even than communion itself.
Right.
Yeah. We're coming together as the body of Christ.
Right.
Okay. Why else might we go to worship?
Well, the sacraments.
All right.
Communion. Well, communion. You got communion, but this different type. Different.
What else?
Receive forgiveness. Confession and receive forgiveness.
Okay. What else?
Well, it helps us to be refreshed, and it helps us to remember, encourages us to study on our own. I don't know whether I'm saying it right, but it just helps people that...
He said it's on our way with a blessing.
Yeah.
Okay. So we come to hear the word, to commune with others, to receive the sacraments, to receive confession and absolution, to be refreshed, to be sent on our way, to be blessed. Did you hear that these were all passive? We are receiving. We are the, not the actors in this, but, all right. Is there an active portion of worship, though?
Walking through the door.
Okay, all right, so we come through the door. That's certainly an active part. Okay.
I mean, if you can't make it there, you can't do all those things.
Right.
I was saying that in jest, but actually, you know.
Some people don't go.
That's right.
Okay, all right. Now, those who do come get this. Mm-hmm. Those who do not come don't get this.
Correct.
Okay? Correct. Yeah. Now, is it important to go to worship? Why? Because God gives you this? Absolutely, that's why. And so if we're skipping out on that, we're skipping out on this. As boring as it might be, that sermon for that Sunday, hey, it's the word of the Lord coming to you. And the Lord has gifts to give you in that service. Okay? So the first way to think about worship service is the Lord's service to us. He is giving us the good gifts that he promises to give. Okay? The second part of it then is our service to God. We thank and praise him for it. So another thing that we put up here is we get a chance to pray. Right? We give thanks to the Lord. In fact, you know, I meant to bring hymnals down here, but you can look through the liturgy that we follow every Sunday, and I believe in the hymnal it has the scriptural passage where that's taken from. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is Matthew 28:19. Okay? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is from, I believe, 1 John. And it goes on down the list. This is God's word that he has given to us, and we get to speak God's word back to him. He's given us the things to say. He's already revealed himself in certain ways. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins. He says it in his own word, and we get to repeat that back. Okay, is this opening things up just a little bit? So that then becomes our service to God, but still it's God who's giving us the stuff to say in confession. We confess what God says about us. God knows who we are. God says that we are, well, what do we confess about ourselves?
Sinners.
Sinners. Yeah. We've got a nice paragraph about how I've not loved the Lord my God with all my heart. I've not loved my neighbor as of myself. I've sinned against God in what I've done and what I've left undone. Okay? We're confessing about ourselves. We're saying we're saying what God says about us to God. Okay? And then what happens? God gives us the gifts. Gives us the gifts. Now, what is the purpose of God giving us these gifts? Why does God do it? I mean, does he do the whole thing in absolution? Does he give us the whole gift in absolution? Forgiveness of sins? Are your sins completely forgiven when pastor says, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Are they all forgiven?
Yes.
They are. It sounds like a trick question. It's not. He does the whole thing here. Check. Does he do the whole thing in the invocation when we enter in remembrance of our baptism? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Does he do the whole thing there? Yes. Yeah. Does he do the whole thing in the sacrament?
Yes.
Yeah. Does he do the whole thing in the sermon if the preacher's doing his job?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why does he do the whole thing so many times?
To beat it into your head.
Possibly, but that would be more of a law answer. This is gospel stuff. God gives his gospel over abundantly. He just pours it on you and pours it on you and pours it on you and pours it on you because he's God. And that's the nature of God. That's how he does it. Plain and simple. And he does that especially in the worship service. He promises to be there in the worship service to do that. Okay?
You know, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Abundantly.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Over abundantly.
Over and over and over.
Yeah. All right. And now, is that the only time that he gives you these gifts? No.
No.
But what happens when you don't go to worship? It becomes pretty easy not to go the next time. And if you haven't gone for two times, it's pretty easy to not come a third time. And if you haven't been in a whole month, what's pastor going to say when I do come back? He's going to say something like, welcome back, haven't seen you for a while, and that's going to be embarrassing. So I don't think I'll come back. Well, you have to go on Easter, you have to go on Christmas. You know, it can spiral out of control that way. What are you missing out on? God's gifts. Here they are, he says.
You know, if we stay at home, we might ask forgiveness only once that week.
Okay. Or we might not do it at all.
Yeah.
Because if we're not going to worship, are we going to be exposed with God's word of law and gospel directed to me? Probably not. Could be. Could be. But where does God promise to be for us? He promises to be there in the preached word, in the spoken word. He promises to be there in the sacrament. Why? For you. For the forgiveness of all your sins.
But there's also two other services that are very important.
Okay.
Advent and Lent.
All right. So some extra services?
Yeah.
They, okay.
They're important along with that. His promise and his passage.
Okay.
Both are in those two services.
All right. Very good. Let me add another purpose of worship then. Because this is, we're two kinds of righteousness people. And here we've got passive righteousness happening, right? So that we can move into active righteousness. So that we can go out into our neighborhood and share these gifts that we have overabundantly been given by the Lord with our neighbor. And how can we do that? My neighbor needs help bringing the groceries in. Can I help him? I'm physically able to go and help my neighbor bring her groceries in. All right. Can I comfort my neighbor who has lost a loved one? Absolutely. The Lord has equipped me to do that. Yeah, I might not feel 100% comfortable doing it because that's a hard situation, but does that person need me? Yes, they're our neighbor, they're our friends. That's the time to be the friend. Sometimes we think of friendship as, you know, how'd your favorite sports team do this past week? To an extent, that's friendship, but boy, that's not where it's at ultimately. Where it said, ultimately, you're a good friend for someone when you're there when they need you. Right? I mean, would you agree with that statement?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that is active righteousness. That is taking the gifts that God has given us out and using them. Okay? All right. Your congregation is about to give you opportunity to do that. That is not to be in the place of what you do in your personal life. For example, at the board of directors meeting a couple of days ago, I put together a plan of kind of a rotating 10-year thing that we can do. We can do out of the country mission trips. We can do in the country mission trips. We can do a mission in Paducah. We can do a servant event. And then we can do these spring or fall retreats. Okay? These are opportunities given to your by your congregation to you individually to take those gifts that God has given you and share them with others in a very specific way. So take a short-term mission trip, for example. Leading up to that, you'd spend probably about a year together in this group. Say 20 people from the congregation want to go on this short-term mission trip. You probably get together once a month, talk about, you know, what do we need to do to get ready to be there. We'll have to get our passports. We'll have to know how much we can pack onto the plane. We'll need to gather stuff if we're bringing medical equipment, whatever. Okay, and we're also going to get together around the Word of God. We're going to have some devotion. So what's going to happen to this group of people over the course of, you know, a year getting ready for this mission trip? What do you suppose?
They're going to get fired up.
Okay, they're going to get fired up. How about relationships within the 20 or so people? They're going to really know each other. Okay? Now they go on this mission trip equipped. How do I know they're equipped? Because God has equipped them. They are ready to do it. In fact, I would say to you guys, you are ready to do it. How do I know that? The Lord has been equipping you to do that. But my point in saying that is that's not the only thing that the Lord is equipping you. So when you see the congregation say, here's what we're going to be doing, you don't have to say, oh my goodness, I'm not being a Christian if I don't go on this short-term mission trip. That's not the point of the congregation providing opportunities. It's just that. This is one opportunity, and we'd like anybody interested to go along and do this, because it will be beneficial to those people that we go and minister to. But isn't it equally important the ministering that you do to your neighbor in Paducah? Maybe your literal next-door neighbor, or your neighbor in the cubicle at work. You see, this is what it is to be the body of Christ. This is what it is to be the church. It's not when we gather around. I think I'm getting into lesson 8, even though I tried to skip it till the end. But there'll be more on this in week 10. But the church is not the building. Okay? The church is the people who gather in the building. The church is the people gathered around these good gifts that God gives us. That's first and foremost. That is primary. What God does. And then he sends us out to be the church wherever it is we are. And that is where the Lord goes to work also, through us. We become the ones through whom the Lord works. Isn't that an awesome responsibility? But it's not a responsibility that's a burden. Like, oh my gosh, I have to go out and be the church today. You just go out and you're doing it. I mean, your neighbor needs help with the groceries, and you're right there and see it. Are you going to just pass her by? If you're able to help, I'm pretty confident each one of you would probably help out. You know, not because you're thinking, man, I'm the church, so I got to go help my neighbor bring the groceries in. Just because it's a nice thing to do. You see, because this has happened, it has transformed you. Does that make sense?
Just being a friend to someone.
Yes. That's right.
They need help or
that's right.
Just being there for someone.
Mm-hmm. And as a Christian, we can be there for someone in so much more powerful way because we are equipped. If healing needs to happen, we can give those words of comfort. And what are those words of comfort? None other than the gospel itself. I've just lost my loved one. Is there hope for me? How can you say that? I've lost my loved one. What's my hope? Hope is in the resurrection of the dead. Eternal life. My hope is in what Christ has promised to do. And in fact, will do. That's where the hope is. You guys have that word. And the Lord will give you what to say when the time comes. That's the other comforting part of this. It's not, again, you know, like we talked about with prayer, sometimes we feel, oh, what am I going to say? When the time comes, the Lord promises that it won't even be you speaking. And I think somebody might have said that they've had that experience where, you know, I kind of started talking and I didn't even feel like it was, where did I get this stuff? Where did you get this stuff? The Holy Spirit is at work. Yep. All right. With the last minute of class, page 44 goes over what it means to be a witness. It's down at the bottom there, a full-time witness. What I just want to say about witness, because we hear that word kind of thrown around, and it a lot of times I don't think makes sense the way that we use it. If you're a witness to an accident, what does that mean? There's a car accident over here on the corner of 21st and Kentucky. It happens all the time. And you're the witness of it. What does that mean?
You saw it.
You saw it. All right. If we, now let's use that same definition of witness of Christ. Well, I gave a really lame witness when I was talking about that toilet overflowing thing a little bit ago. Has the Lord worked in your life? What has he done?
He's given me things. I mean, okay. He's blessed me.
All right.
More than what I deserve.
Okay. Blessed you with more than you deserve. The Lord did that? All right. Did you see it happening? Did you witness it in your life? Absolutely. That's what witness means. It's the same thing as witnessing an accident or whatever. You saw it happen. I came to church and the Lord convicted me in my sins and then forgave me. Forgave me for what I did. Okay? The Lord has come to me in his body and blood and given me the forgiveness of sins. This is what I witness. So we can certainly say that to people. And that's what it means to give a witness. You just say what you see. You say what the Lord has done in your life or in the life of somebody else. Maybe you heard a story, you know, from somebody else, like the story you had told a while ago, Donna, at work, you know. I know this woman who worked with somebody else, and, you know, that's a witness also. Not a first-hand witness. Just like how many of us first-hand witnessed Christ's crucifixion? We haven't. But it's been passed down to us from generation to generation through what? The witness. The witness of the original people. Jesus' own mother was right there. And she talked to Luke. She probably talked to Paul. She probably talked to the apostles and said, this is what happened. And it pierced my heart. And it's the witness that's been given and passed down. And we can also do that. Yeah, we continue in that line of the apostles and continue to pass on that witness. I've got a note to encourage you to read through page 45. Let me just see what we've got going on there. Full-time service. This is vocation. Vocation, let me just give you a bit of review. When I say vocation, it is the three R's, remember? Relationship, responsibility, and then act of righteousness. So any relationship you have is a vocation, and that means that you have some responsibility to someone else within that relationship. Okay? And that really hammers out five different vocations that you have in your life, very specific ones. Family, religion, civic, and two more that I can't think of off the top of my head. That's all the time we have for today, and why don't we close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.